السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 13th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443. And with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, we focus on chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verses 74 and 75. Maulana Arafat's son, Ubaidullah, the young one, is not well. He's in hospital, and therefore Maulana is not available today. Make dua for Maulana's son, Ubaidullah. Allah Jalla Wala grant him shifa, a kamil, speedy recovery. And likewise, all those people who are ill and sick, whether they're in the hospitals, clinics, at home, Allah Jalla Wala grant all of them shifa, a kamil, complete shifa. Allahumma shfin nas jami'an ya rabbal alameen. Similarly, yesterday I heard one of our brothers that his family member in Maputo has been kidnapped. So remember that this problem seems to be increasing in South Africa and Maputo and other places as well. We all need to take all the precautions and keep on reading Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse number 64. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, is the best of protectors, and He, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, is the most merciful one to show mercy. All those who are kidnapped, may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala return them back to their families safe and sound. Today's lesson, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, chapter 17, verses 74 and 75. Before I translate and explain the verses, there are two, three principles you need to understand. Number one is this: many a time in the noble Quran, although Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is addressing the Master, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the greater message and import and meaning is for me and you, the Ummah. Example I give you, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Now the literal translation will be, if you, Ya Rasulullah, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hypothetically, for argument's sake, you commit shirk, then all your actions will go in vain. It's obvious Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never ever do that. So the warning is for me and you, the Ummah, the followers, the global international followers. If you're going to commit shirk, Allah forbid, and ascribe, associate somebody, something to Almighty Allah, then that is what awaits you. So each one of us should understand how the usloob, the methodology of the noble Quran works. Not that we just take literal meaning and then come to our own conclusions and so forth. So we need to be extremely careful in that regard. So in today's lesson also, it's a very similar situation. See what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states. Chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verses 74 and 75. وَلَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ. And if we had not strengthened you, meaning given you the best of Iman, the best of Islam, the best of Ikhlas, sincerity, the best of Akhlaq and character, everything we gave you the best, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habib Allah, O Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we had not strengthened you, then this should have happened. لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. Then you should have been inclined towards them slightly. شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. Towards them, the mushrikeen, polytheists, you should accommodate them, you should compromise with them a little bit. Now bring this in our context. Today people speak about the Abrahamic Accord. So let us compromise a little bit on Islam, and then we can combine with the Christians. Let us compromise and accommodate a little bit. We can join and combine with the Jews. So by the time they do all that, there's nothing left of Islam. And therefore we say loudly and boldly with Allah's help, any person who promotes and propagates the Abrahamic Accord, which is a stunt pulled by the Americans and the rogue apartheid regime of Israel, such people are murtadun, kharijun anil Islam, waddarun. They are the traitors and apostates and out of the fold of Islam. Then if a person does that, although the address is to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the greater message is for me and you, idhal adhaqnaka, then surely we will also let you taste tri'ful hayat, a double punishment in this world, wa tri'ful mamat, a double punishment in the year after, thumma la tajidu laka alayna nasira, and then you will not find any helper against us. Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'duhu ba'da. Certain verses in the noble Qur'an, they elaborate and explain other verses. Let's go for a cross-reference and see Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, and verse 30. So chapter 33, verse 30, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, O you Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honorable wives and spouses. So yeah, Allah jalla wa ala is addressing the honorable wives of the Master alayhi salatu salam. They are the most purest, they are the best, everything. May ya'ati min kunna bifahishatim mubayyina, whosoever from you brings about a major, major sin and a major, major crime, and remember obscenity and so forth, an indecent action, yudha'af lahal adhabu du'ifain, then Almighty Allah will let it happen that you will be punished double the amount, because you are the honorable wives of the Master alayhi salatu salam. You are the mothers of the Ummah, therefore no one can marry you after the demise of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam, as enshrined in the noble Quran itself, where Almighty Allah jalla wala states, وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. And it's not permissible for any one of you to marry the honorable wives of the Master alayhi salatu salam after his demise. Chapter 33 and verse 53. So all this is to show us, the higher your rank and status, then remember the punishment will be increased. But obviously it will never ever happen that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes and compromises and so forth. But the lesson is for me and you. On Deen of Islam, there is no such thing as we compromise, and that is where we are sitting today. The disaster of interfaith. What is the meaning of interfaith nowadays? Interfaith means the government or some organization will arrange the time, the venue, everything. Sometime a church, sometime a synagogue, sometime a shul, that is a small place of worship for the Jews, or the mosque, or wherever. And thereafter, they will say all religions are equal and on par. And now everybody state their case and so forth. To make statements like that, or to have that perception that all religions are equal, is straightforward kufr. And a person who accepts that, remember, he himself is out of the fold of Islam. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned, وَمَن يَبْتَغِ yabtaghi ghayra al-Islam deena, whosoever seeks any religion besides Islam. So meaning you say this religion, that religion, all religions are okay and they're on par and so forth. So anybody seeks a religion besides Islam, falay yuqbal amin, it will never ever be accepted on his or her behalf. Wa huwa fil akhirati min al-khasirin, and that person will be among the failures and losers in the year after. So chapter number 3, verse 85. So today's lesson, that if a person compromises and he turns towards Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, thisism, thatism, then he will be punished severely. So that is exactly what is mentioned. Hadith means the saying of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, whosoever he changes his religion, he or she was born a Muslim, he or she embraced Islam, and then Allah forbid aliyazu billah, he or she, they denounce Islam, became a murtad and an apostate and join some other religion, for them then there is the death penalty. So that is what Islam teaches us, and this is 100% authentic hadith and saying of the Prophet Muhammad Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, it's a worse crime than treason. Also, you know, in the West, in many countries and states, that for treason they have the death penalty. So Islam will say that this is worse than treason. Insha'Allah Aziz, today Thursday, that between 11 and 12 we will have our fiqh lesson, Mona Zahid Khan and myself, and it will be on Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today we will be discussing khula. Khula is when husband wife things turn sour and so forth, and it is the wife who is in the wrong. So how can you terminate and finish that marriage? So all these necessary discussions will take place inshallah Aziz between 11 and 12. We now cross to our brother Junaid Khan, Junaid Mota, mashallah, and have to thank him, brother Junaid Mota, and our brother Riyaz Hussein, and Allah Ta'ala grant our Moana Arafat son Shifa'i Kamil, make dua for all those who are ill, Allah Ta'ala grant them a speedy recovery. So brother Junaid will pose the questions, and inshallah, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, we will respond to the questions that are posed by you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Murti, I like money too much. It brings total happiness and peace of mind to me. My brother, who was a multimillionaire, slipped, fell, and passed away. Murti, with all the millions he had, he never took a cent with him. This brings me to my realization that we take nothing with us when we die. So why do we chase after this world?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala answers this very query in the Noble Quran. And if you open chapter 100, you will find Almighty Allah speaking about the loyalty of the horses to their owner, manager. And when the danger is lurking from outside, from somewhere, people want to harm the manager, owner, benefactor, these horses are so loyal. فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرنا به نقعا فوسطنا به جمعا. These horses will get into the thick of the battle and they will not retreat, rather they will go forward and advance, even if they have to make the supreme sacrifice. But Allah juxtaposes and compares the loyalty of the horse to its benefactor, and our loyalty, my loyalty, your loyalty to our greatest benefactor, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. He blessed us with everything, made us the masterpiece of his creation, gave us eyes, ears, tongue, I'm speaking live, you hearing, in different cities, countries, continents, all this, the fadl, the grace, the mercy of Allah. are, but then Allah complains of me and you. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanood. Beshak ye insan apne rab ke bahut hi na shukar hai. Chapter 100 verses 6, 7 and 8. Verily this human being is very ungrateful to his sustainer, nourisher, provider. Wa innahu ala dhalika la shaheed. And he bears testimony to that. The more wealth, assets Allah gave him, the more corrupt he becomes generally in 80-90% of the cases. He can buy the police off, he can buy the politician off, he can buy the Maulana, the Imam off, he can buy the judge off, magistrate off, so much corruption. Why is this human being the masterpiece so ungrateful, so unthankful to Almighty Allah? This is the rationale and the reason. Chapter 100, verse number 6, 7 and 8. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Verily, this human being is madly, intensely, crazily in love with that wealth of his. More and more million? He says, no, 100 million. 100 million? No, 500 million. More and more, more and more. هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيد. Bring for me more. So remember, when death comes, then we realize that what are we chasing? We're chasing a shadow. And this is how the dunya, the world, it deceives us. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Yet dunya, yet doka ka saman hai. This worldly life is the goods and provision of deception. So think properly that we have a greater mission on this earth. On this earth, we're going to live 20, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. We have to pass the test, and we have to pass with flying colors for the eternal life in the year after. That is what the Muslim should understand, and they know our weakness. Muslims' weakness, the enemies all know. Aurat aur daulat ne ummat ko barbaad kar diya. They will use money, they will use women, and then they know the Muslim will fall for the trick, majority of them, and then they will deviate. And once you deviate, so you see today's lesson, what the consequences will be. Allah alone protect us. Chapter number 3, verse number 8. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Oh beloved Allah, do not let our hearts get deviated after you gave us the guidance, you gave us Iman and Islam. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Grant us from your side the special mercy to envelop and encompass us. Innaka antal wahhab. Verily you are the best of givers.
Mufti, can my husband marry my stepsister as his second wife?
So you must remember that is not permissible. By stepsister, you mean that you sharing the same mother or sharing the same father. Quran Kareem states, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. You cannot combine two sisters one time in your marriage, in your nikah, chapter 4, verse number 23. So totally haram, unlawful that is. And for you to be married to your wife, and then you start tuning her up and speaking to her, flirting with her, all that is haram. Even though you're not going to marry her because haram, but to tune her up and to speak to her and flirt with her, all that also is haram. When Islam wants to solve a problem, it goes to the roots. The Western world, when they want to solve a problem, they go to the fruits, they go to the top. So what they will say, give everybody a condom. Take South Africa. In this week, I heard myself. So they said that the school, the learners who are going to primary school, more than 200,000 plus, quarter million plus maybe, they don't return to school. Either they lost interest, either poverty or whatever. And then thousands of the girls don't return, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, because they have fallen pregnant. So imagine what an indictment that is on the government, on the the schools, on the teaching. Therefore, I always tell you, this Western system of education, so is a curse for humanity. It brings humanity not nearer to Almighty Allah, not becoming an asset to humanity, but rather a huge liability and a menace to society.
Sir, your religion is very unique. Am I right in saying that when you are more than one person traveling, you guys choose a leader to lead the way? Why is this so?
100%. Thank you, my brother, for posing, or sister, for posing that question. When we travel, for example, I'm traveling today to Durban. I'm just giving example. So it's myself, my wife, so I will be the captain. So in life, you have to take decisions, but at the same time, we must make mashura, we must have consultation. Say, for example, we are 3, 4, 5 men. So then also, we appoint somebody as the Amir. Amir means as the captain, as the leader, because remember, there are prayers involved, we have to stop for that, or there are sometimes emergency involved, so we need somebody to take the decisions. But he, that somebody, the Amir, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who said, La khilafata illa an mashura, that you can't become the Khalifa and the leader, except you should have consultation. And that is, remember, we consult with the people we are traveling in this case, yeah. And if you want to see Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu statement, open Kanzul Ummal, you will find it there. So Islam, my brother, is not a religion as understood in the Western form. In the Western form, whole week you do what you want to, sleep what you want to, eat, drink what you want to, wine, dine and swine. Saturday you go to the shul, you go to the synagogue, the Jews, and the whole week you do what you want to. And the Christian whole week do what you want to, boyfriend, girlfriend, Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, and Sunday you go to the confession room and say, oh Father, I slept with this lady, I slept with this man, and he say, don't worry my son. So Sunday, no, Islam is a religion which is a way of life. Any aspect of our life, we have guidelines, we have directives, and we know what to do in our individual life, our collective life, our marital life. So that is the beauty of Islam. It is the panacea. It is the solution for the problem of human being in all times, all places, all circumstances.
Sir, I don't understand why you Muslims keep pictures and videos on your cell phones and scroll through them. But when you read the Holy Quran from the very same phone, you can't even touch the screen without washing. Where is the logic? Your cell phone screen did not get dirty, so why can't you touch it? This is from France.
Remember, my brother or sister from France, thank you very much for posing the question. We need to be but careful when we make wild allegations or accusations. For a Muslim, you see, I am speaking to you live now from South Africa, and the time here is just around 4:30. There in France, you must remember, maybe your time now is 2:30 or whatever, so it's early part of the morning or 3:30, whatever it is. So we thank you for your sacrifice. But you see, when you touch the noble Quran that is in the book form, like how I have in front of me, then we must have wudu, ablution. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 56, verse 79, La yamassuhu illal mutahharun. But when a person is reading from his iPad, iPhone, smartphone, ugly phone, whatever you want to call it. So, and there he downloaded the noble Quran and just the Arabic text over translation. So there it is desirable that he has the ablution and wudu, but it's not compulsory. So I am traveling from here to Paris, to your De Gaulle airport, to Paris, they say Paris. So anyway, then I'm reading the noble Quran on my iPad, on my phone, phone and so forth, smartphone call, whatever you want to. So it's not compulsory or essential or necessary or mandatory that I must have, I must go wash and so forth. No, it's not necessary that I must make ablution. I can just read by scrolling down, that would be permissible. Yes, that's a separate issue that today most people, Muslim and non-Muslim, but we have to be worried about the Muslim, because the question is about Muslim, that people abuse their phones, that they are watching pornography, they are chatting with women, they are doing this, doing that. So obviously all that is haram and all that is unacceptable. When people abuse, you must remember what is there on the cell phone. But if you use it for a good cause, you see, the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of Islam, he was the last, the final messenger, the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the entire universe. So in pre-Islamic days, they were masters of poetry, Arabic poetry, and that was their distinction. They would have big competitions. So they came to the master alayhi salatu salam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and said, all this poetry we have, now what must we do? He, rahmatan lil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that fahasanuhu hasanun wa qabihuhu qabihun, that we will look at the words and the message and so forth. Those that have a good message, you can use that. And those that have a bad message, where you are praising your alcohol and your swine and so forth, your haram relationship, illicit relationship, so all that must be abandoned and cancelled. So similarly with our phones and what have you, you have to see the content. You're using it for good, so alhamdulillah, very good. So you're using it for haram and unlawful, then it's haram and not permissible. So that is what Islam stands for, my brother, sister, in Paris, in France.
What is the correct way of performing salah when sitting and reading? Must we stand and read and then sit on the chair, or must we read the entire salah sitting?
The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Mustafa, Bukhari Sharif is the most authentic hadith compilation wherein we have the statements, the sayings, the actions of the master Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore it has great, great importance and significance. So let us see what happens. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet of Islam, is addressing Imran bin Hussein. Imran bin Hussein, father and son, both are sahabi, both are students, companions of the master alayhi salam. So we say radiallahu anhuma. He, Imran radiallahu anh, suffered from bawasir, from piles. So the master alayhi salam told him, swalli qa'iman, you must stand and read. Fa illam, your salat, your prayer, your namaz. Fa illam tastati, then fa qa'idan, if you can't manage standing, then you sit and read. Sitting and reading meant that you sit on the floor and you read salat there. And fa illam tastati fa ala jambin, then on your flank and so forth. So showing and highlighting the importance of salat. You don't say no, you just miss salat. No, you have to pray, whether you're in a hospital, you're in the clinic, you're at home, and whatever posture is possible, you have to pray. You can't perform wudu ablution, you make tayammum ablution with sand. And if you can't stand, you sit on the floor, you can't do that, then you recline and you on your flank, whatever, you perform your salat. Now, today people sometimes can't manage sitting on the floor, so they sit on a chair. So in that case there, what happens? So Hanafi ulama and them state that if you can't, you understand, read the whole salat standing and so forth normally as we do, then it's best that you sit and read the whole salat. But if you stand and sit, all that is fine. The Shafis and them say, no, you must stand when you can stand. And then the other posture, you sit on the chair, and for example, sajda, you're prostrating and so forth, you will do it via your gestures and your signs. So this is academic discussion, but all is acceptable. Hanafi say you stand and then sit, or you sit right through, all that will be acceptable. Shafis and them say, no, if you can stand, so that portion you should stand. And the discussion comes under two verses. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. Almighty Allah has not burdened any personality more than his or her ability, capacity and capability. So la yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. And Imam Shafi and him say, fattakullaha mastata'tum. You must fear Almighty Allah Jalla wala to the best of your ability. So it shows that you have the ability to stand and so forth, then you must stand. And if you don't, then you sit. So that is how you have difference of opinion. And remember that Almighty Allah has made these type of differences a mercy for humanity and for us, all of us. So that is what we should understand. And that is the beauty and the glory of the noble Quran. So I told you that you must remember Surah 2, verse 286. And that is the one that will be your criteria to assist you in this regard.
Sir, I lost both my legs by stepping on a landmine. God is great, and now I do believe you when you say there is another life in the year after. No amount of money can replace what God has created. Sir, how will I walk to God on that day? Will I be normal again? From Stain.
So you must remember, my brother, I hope that you embrace Islam after you understood the majesty, sovereignty, authority of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Almighty Allah teaches us, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Almighty Allah created you from the wombs of your mother and you knew absolutely nothing. And thereafter, what did Almighty Allah do? وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. He blessed you with the faculty of hearing, seeing, understanding, comprehending. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you be grateful and thankful to him, for to Almighty Allah, for his ever-recurring bounties, favors that is showering upon us. Chapter 16, Surah Nahal, verse 78. Chapter 16, verse 78. So you, my brother, may Almighty Allah make it easy for you, give you a speedy recovery. So you stepped on a landmine and you lost both your legs, and now you are using crutches or wheelchair or whatever. So tomorrow, on the day of justice, Almighty Allah will resurrect you with your feet and everything. And Almighty Allah speaks of this, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَى كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. That we will resurrect you on the day of justice as we created you the first time. So when your beloved mother gave birth to you, my brother, you were absolutely normal. So that is how Almighty Allah will resurrect you. And if you want a reference of this, open chapter 6, Surah An'am and verse 94. So that is the bounty. So Allah is showing me and you and the entire creation and universe, it's my power, my majesty, my sovereignty, my authority. So better become my servants and my slaves, and then you will see the power of Almighty Allah even more externally and internally. You embrace Islam, so say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. I praise Allah in all cases and circumstances. If you're not a Muslim, then we invite you towards Islam, because now your understanding is getting more and more, my brother, my sister. Last question.
Mufti, I lent my friend money on many, many occasions, but he never paid me back. Now I'm short of money. How do I ask it back from him?
So, you know, if a person takes my books or takes my money the first time and don't pay me, so I will say that he is not an honest person and so forth. But if I keep on giving him, but that person is not paying me or is not returning my books, then I'm the fool, isn't it so? So you should learn, my brother, how could you be so naive in a simple Simon? You keep on giving him or her money, or you keep on giving them some assets or what have you. And in that way, now you are going to suffer because of your shortage of cash flow or whatever you have problems. So always remember, unless you also had a hidden agenda, a hidden and ulterior motive, you lend that person, the lady, money because you're intent intention was something else. Or you lend that brother some money. Why? Because you were timing and seeing his daughter or something. So if the intention was upside down, so JC Niyat Vesi Baraka, whatever your intention was, you will see the results eventually, sooner or later. So in Islam, we are told that you must not give money to people who are not going to pay you. Why? We have a saying, and that's not a hadith, it's a proverb. Al-qarzu miqrazul mahabba. Once you give qarz, you give loan, you give the money to people, and they'll tell you on sarrahmak, we will pay back and so forth. That is the scissor that will break the friendship. So therefore, once, twice you help, but now he's not paying, tell him no. You pay me back, then only I will assist you. So now whatever you can get of his, whether his car or any other assets, you take it and tell him you're keeping it till he pays you the entire sum that he owes you. So inshallah, we will see you between 11 and 12. You will have the program, Al-Fiqh, and